Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Well, we have a fast-paced, informative show planned for you today, don't we, Motorator?
Yes, we do. We're going to talk about Ford versus Ferrari feature film coming out, Ford v. Ferrari.
Talk about some famous black comedians who crash supercars. Yes.
And although quilted interiors.
One of them's a real crash.
One of them's a real crash.
People are thinking about Tracy Morgan, but Eddie Griffin really crashed a supercar. So we'll get into that. First, I'll tell you about Continental OETs. You find a lot of weird things in cars, trinkets and snakes even sometimes, and even old crayons and all that. You'll also find Continental belts. Bet you didn't know. They're the OE to millions of Chrysler's, Dodge, Ford, BMW, VW, and GM vehicles. Continental is launching the aftermarket multi-V belt with the OE pedigree. That's their OE technology series. So finally, you get the good dealer stuff, and you can get it off the shelf at the parts store. Fanatically engineered for perfect fit, form, and function for 98% of vehicles on the road in the U.S. and Canada.
Yeah.
I like that average. Continental OE Technology Series Multi-V Belts, the belt with the OE pedigree. You get the full story at OETechnologyseries.com. That's OETechnologyseries.com. All right, let's get on with a fast, fun, and informative show. Get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Get it on. And welcome to CarCast. That's Castrol CarCast to you. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Matt, the Motorator, D'Andrea.
Hello.
How you doing, pal?
I'm doing good. Had a good weekend driving cars.
Yeah, you got some really cool stuff.
Yeah, it's been a good couple of weeks.
Like $165,000 Range Rover.
It's 181.
There? 181.
That's fantastic.
It's a truck.
Acura NSX, McLaren 720S.
Spider.
Yeah.
Much to talk about.
Oh, good stuff.
All right. And we're going to talk, of course, about Ford v. Ferrari.
Yeah.
First, let me just hit JB Weld here. Made in the USA. Pros and DIYers have trusted JB Weld for more than 50 years. We use it at home. I use it at home. I use it here. We use it in the garage. We use it everywhere. Available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, O'Reilly, Walmart. I mean, wherever you get any adhesive or really anything, Amazon, JB Weld, the world's strongest bond. All right. So excited. The trailer finally dropped for Ford versus Ferrari.
Yeah.
We've been waiting on this thing for a while. As predicted, it's kind of the Christian Bale story. Or well, Christian Bale portrays Ken Miles.
Ken Miles,
but it's the Ken Miles story with Christian Bale as Ken Miles. He looks like him naturally.
Yeah. Yeah, he kind of does. And it's going to be, it's going to be great. They got like a great team behind it. Like we said, Bale and Matt Damon and James Mangold. He did such a great job on Logan. I loved Logan. I thought he did a great job on that.
I like 310 to Yuma, which was another one of his films. So it's Shelby and it's Ken Miles. And so far, it looks like the story of Shelby and Ken Miles and Ken Miles and his son
and
wife.
Did you dig into it at all to see like who's playing some of the Ferrari people? Is there an Enzo? Like at one point, there was talk of of an Enzo movie or talk of like Robert De Niro playing Enzo, maybe in this film or a different film. And we keep talking about Damon and Bale because they're in the trailer, and I realize I don't know who's playing the Ferrari roles.
Well, I was looking down the IMDb page, and it's sort of in order of importance, appearance, you know, most screen time first, normally. Yeah. So Christian Bale, Ken Miles first, I think Matt Damon, Carol Shelby second. I think third is like his wife or his son. I think his wife. Ken Miles' wife, and then there's like Lee Iacocca.
Yeah,
and there's a bunch of guys that are in our – you'll see them in the 24-hour war. You know, like Shelby will bring up names like Dan Johnson said, come down to headquarters and I'll show you whatever. What are these names? And you'll see those names in this doc and or in this feature film. When you get you got to go down a little ways to get some Ferrari guys down there. Ferrari himself. I think you got to truck down like 9 or 10 names to get to Ferrari, which says to me he's in it, but this isn't his story.
Yeah, and but the Ferrari, the Ford v Ferrari portion of it is sort of this ominous, like Ferrari is out there and they've already been dominating without having to like sort of reflect on one particular person. They can just build it up as Ferrari in general.
Do the IMDb Maxipata, and you'll see that I think Ferrari's down the list a little bit, but there are other players. And they're like,
is it Gilbert Gottfried?
Guys like Don Beebe or something like that. Wait, Don Beebe was a wide receiver for Buffalo. Is it Don Beebe?
He doesn't sound Italian.
There's a Fry. I think there's a Beebe. They're guys, Leo guys like that.
Leo?
No, it's not Leo Beebe.
Okay.
But thanks. I think there's like a Don Fry. Oh, maybe there is a Leo Beebe. It's like a Don Fry, Leo Beebe. Yeah, we'll figure it out. I think Don Fry and Leo Beebe, like weird names like that, are what they put up there. And
Enzo Ferrari,
and but Charlie Acabu, who's the mechanic for Ken Miles, is right under that. So, and we interviewed him. He's in our doc. He's still youngish. I mean, he must have been when he was the mechanic or on the crew. For Ken Miles, he must have been 19 and a half.
Yeah.
Because he seems like he's 63 now. Like, he's not an old guy.
Right.
And he came to our shop, Charlie Acabu, and we interviewed him. So, sorry, start at the top, and we'll sort of take a look. So, it's Ken Miles. It's Ken Miles' wife. It's Shelby. It's Lee Iacocca.
John Bernthal. He's great.
Phil Remington is the mechanic. He's the mechanic. Yep, you're right. Leo Beebe. Oh, Josh Lucas
is playing Leo Beebe.
Right. So Peter Miles, the son. Henry Ford, the second. There's not a lot of Ferrari in here until you get down. The thing that's kind of funny is Chris Darga plays Holman or Moody. I can't remember if Holman and Moody, the guys who built the engines and did all the stock car stuff and put some of the GT40s out there. There's some Holman Moody GT40s.
Right. Plays Holman.
My buddy from a million years ago, the Groundlings, Chris Darga, plays Holman. Is it
John Holman?
Leo Holman?
John Holman.
Is it Leo?
John Holman. Right. So it's an interesting story, but stop me if I'm wrong, Maxipata. Enzo Ferrari doesn't come on the IMDb thing until like 15th.
Yeah, he's under tiki bar waitress and commentator.
Right. So this is the story of Shelby and Ken Miles.
Yeah.
And this is the story I said should be talked about. Maxipata found a 2-year-old interview with me talking to Haggerty about just doing an interview about probably the 24-hour war. And I said, the Ken Miles story, that's the story that people need to hear.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure. Look, I'm not going to be recognized in my time or in anybody's time, but one day they'll erect a monument and then some college kids will want it torn down. Yeah, so I said a few years ago, the story is the Ken Miles story.
Yeah.
You said it in August 2017, and then it was announced James Mangold was directing a film called Ford vs. Ferrari in February of 2018.
Right. And I said what, Maxipata? Sorry.
You said, when we started making the 24-hour war, I hadn't known as much about the Ken Miles story as I probably should have. That part to me was eye-opening. Miles was such a gentleman, and he was so mild-mannered. He's going to be the first guy to win the Triple Crown of Daytona, Sebring, and Le Mans, and basically just got gypped out of his Le Mans win, only to die tragically in testing some months later. And all of this has just kind of been lost to the dustbin of history. It's so sad that most people, even gearheads and people that are into the hobby, don't even know who Ken Miles was.
So, wow, when well James said. Mangold receives his Oscar, at some point he'll go, a shout-out to Adam Carolla, yeah. Had it not been for the Haggerty Insurance Online article about another project where he singled out Ken Miles, I would never have the inspiration to tell this story.
Yeah.
You think that's going to happen?
No.
Okay.
I'm sure he's also going to say, I heard there was a really great documentary. I'm going to go on record, did not see that documentary.
That's right.
But, you know, Hollywood always gets the opportunity to take liberties with the story and build it up and make it exciting. But this is a story that's already has all kinds of drama and tragedy and things. But how do you think James Mangold is going to turn it into, you know, a 2-hour super dramatic Rush type movie, Rush-esque?
I think he focuses on the Ken Miles relationship with the son, the Ken Miles relationship with the wife, and you really get invested in Ken Miles.
Yeah.
And because once you buy into Ken Miles, the man, then Ken Miles, the race car driver, is easy because that story just tells itself.
I mean,
he's going for the Triple Crown, gets completely jacked out of it at Le Mans, and then is dead 7 weeks later testing. So all you have to do to the audience is get them invested in Ken Miles as a dad and Ken Miles as a friend and Ken Miles as Shelby's friend and Ken Miles the husband. Ken Miles, the racer, that story, you don't need to change a word in that story.
Right.
That's drawn out like a Shakespearean play, right? That's a tragedy of Shakespearean proportions right there. Yeah. Well, as I was telling my friends at Haggerty several years ago, I do know that story.
You do know that story. Not as well as you did at the time, but you know it better now.
Adam is the Ken Miles of the documentary world. Like, he's just going to be lost to the dustbin of history. Tragic story.
That's right. I'd like to be the Ken Burns of the documentary set, but I'm the Ken. I'll be the Ken Miles if they never made a movie about Ken Miles.
So I was watching the trailer, the online version, the longer, like, 2-minute trailer, and I love that they have sort of a thrashing scene to get the car together. It's all Rocky in the gym. You know, Eye of the Tiger kind of thing going on, but it's the crew, and I don't know how long they had to actually. I don't recall specifically how long they had to build. Build the car.
In the commercial, they said 90 days.
90 days. And I think it was more than that.
I like that they were bold enough to show a sparks flying scene.
That's great.
So innovative. It's never been done in cinematic history where they get the grinder going, grind. It's also the easiest scene to set up.
Yeah.
When you're filming, because you go, what are we doing with this grinder? Nothing. Just go on top of this piece of metal, and then sparks will fly out, and we'll get the grind scene.
Yeah. They look all focused, and are they in a dino room?
They're in a dino room.
In a dino room.
They had that famously, it's in our doc, where they had that like computer punch card that like simulated Le Mans.
Yeah.
And they had, I think Dan Gurney was talking about it, but they took a 427 and they ran it for like 42 hours nonstop. And they moved all the shifting and everything to simulate Le Mans.
Yeah.
So it's like Mulsanne straight, you know, running at 7,000 RPM for 4 minutes and then back down through the turn and then back, you know. So they literally built a mechanical simulator to run the engines. For, you know, if it's the 24 hours of Le Mans, they'd run it for 36 hours.
But Ford was developing the engine. Ford was working on the engines, not in-house at Shelby, right? Because they could never afford it.
Yeah. The Ford, at Ford, I believe, in like Dearborn, was this state-of-the-art big mechanical dyno that just ran the engines as it with one of those computer punch cards to like simulate right. the race. Everything yeah. was analog, obviously. But that was part of the, we have an unlimited budget to beat Ferrari. Like what other teams had a dyno? Yeah. They all had dynos. They didn't have dynos where they could run the engine for 2 days and right. simulate the track every shift and breaking point, right?
Yeah. It's going to be, we're going to watch it, some trailer. It's going to be pretty exciting. I'm excited for it. I'm looking forward to this film. When is it? November 15th?
Yeah, November 15th.
Ooh, November 15th. Now, how
Oscar
do you think?
Season.
Oscar season. Mm. And I have yet to see. I saw the trailer of the Shelby Doc, of your Shelby Doc, but I have not seen the film yet. And in the 24-hour war, when you guys cut that, when you and Nate were cutting that originally, there was a big Shelby portion of it, and you're like, this is its own movie. Let's reduce the amount of Shelby that's in it. We'll do a standalone film with that, and let's focus more on the Ford versus Ferrari aspect of the battle.
We had a battle within the 24-hour war, Ford versus Ferrari, our doc, and it was Le Mans was the big thing. In the middle of that doc, we had, I don't know, 20, 25 minutes of like Shelby building the Daytona,
yeah.
Shelby Cobra Daytona, winning at Daytona, having set the lap record test at Riverside and have it be 3 seconds faster than a Cobra. And all that stuff caught on fire at Daytona and Shelby sort of pulled the plug and blah, blah, blah. It was all in there. And the whole thing, the thing was like 2 hours long, maybe over 2 hours. And when we were watching it, I was saying that in the middle of our doc about really developing the GT40, the Ford GT40 to go to Le Mans and beat Ferrari, in the middle of that story, we had this story about these guys from Venice Beach building a Daytona and winning at Daytona and Sebring and some other place, winning the manufacturers championship, yeah. blah, blah, blah. But I was like, we shifted from the GT40 to this other car for like a long period of time. And then we're going to go back to the GT40.
Right.
And I was like, it's confusing. I mean, it's not confusing to me, but anyone else would sort of be confused that we're hopping around different cars. Which yeah. car are we talking about? Which car?
It's mesmerizing. And it's a great story, but it wasn't exactly accurate as far as, it wasn't telling the right story for the 24-hour war.
Right.
It was kind of setting up a little bit too much, Shelby.
I said, we kept kind of tightening it up and paring it down, but I said, I think we just need to kind of remove that whole chunk, and then we'll use it when we do the Shelby doc one day. So it was yeah. funny. When I was watching a rough cut some months ago of the Shelby doc, and it was like 2 hours and 20 minutes or something like that. And I was just watching the whole thing. And I was like, it needs this and it's slow here and it needs that. And at a certain point, it got to like sort of the middle. And I was like, this part works. It really picked up when we hit this part and it really looked good from this part to that part. And then it slowed down again.
Yeah.
And Nate was like, yeah, because that's a part we just took out and put in from our other movie.
The other movie. That one was already done.
It was already done. And I don't even remember. I didn't remember it. I was just like, hey, all of a sudden it's good. Like it's fast. Yeah, it's working. Yeah. Everything's good. And I was like, that middle part's really good. That's... It's like, well, that's already done. So that's why.
Yeah, we got pages of notes on that one.
All right. So I was like, so now the whole thing, the Shelby doc is good and 24-hour war is good and it's all good. But the Shelby doc is over 2 hours. It's not a short doc.
No.
I must say. Also, so Max Zapata tells me the UK title and maybe the European title for the Ford v. Ferrari's Le Mans 66, which makes sense, although a little unnecessary, I feel. Yeah. But I guess Le Mans is a bigger race there, and they understand it more.
Everybody there is familiar with Ford and Ferrari, but maybe not familiar with the battle, the versus portion of it as much as we are. We don't, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Le Mans 66. That shall be the European title for it. In Japan, they've retitled it Toyota v. Datsun. I don't know if you know that.
I mean, you get people in the door.
They're trying to get the people old, in there. Putting the old asses in seats. All right, let me hit Castrol over here. Stronger under pressure. Engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure. Keep metal from rubbing. And I know you say rubbing is racing, but not inside of the engine.
No.
You want that little film of Castrol Edge. Three times.
Three times.
Three times stronger against leading. Three times stronger than leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. Castrol Edge, everybody.
Yeah.
All right.
I was watching Days of Thunder when they got the oil leak right before the race because we had to switch engines. We found some metal in the oil filter.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, where'd you get it? Well, we stole it from Randy Quaid.
Tanner Faust also in the Ford v. Ferrari is Ronnie Buckman.
I think that's, yeah.
He's probably doing some stunt driving in that movie.
Probably done some stunt driving.
And doing a little acting
and
as well.
Our friend Jeremy Fry. Jeremy Fry has been here. He's been on CarCast. He was a driver and Baby Driver and all the John Wick movies, and he was working on this film.
How does he drive in those John Wick movies when the drive shaft is all screwed up?
I don't know. I have no idea. It was pretty interesting.
Poor Sonny. He was explaining to me, like, oh, I love John Wick. I was like, okay, but here's the part Daddy doesn't like. Daddy doesn't like John Leguizamo saying that the drive shaft is all shot to hell because you can't drive it when the drive shaft is all shot to hell.
He drove it, like, from his garage because he parked it in the garage at night and then drove it, like, out into the middle of the street so Leguizamo could take a look at it. It was weird.
And I think he was driving home from where he stole it.
I think the scene is he drives it home and he parks it in his garage at night. And then the next scene is like Wazometer's like outside walking around the car. And
I didn't have the sound up. I just feel like he drove it. He was driving it back from the place. But maybe you're right.
Yeah.
Also,
I know that scene irritates you.
I had to explain to Sonny. He's like, and John Wick, he's got a puppy.
Yeah.
He's got a really cool car. And I'm like, it's okay. It's okay. Daddy's 5'10 is much better than John Wick's piece of shit Mustang. It's like, what's he driving, a 67 or something?
Probably 67.
67? Like, look, Dick, just because you put Kragers on a Mustang and blackjack headers doesn't mean it's not a piece of shit.
It's not about the car. It's about the dog.
It's a 69? Oh, it's a Mach 1? Yeah, John Wick drives $7,000 worth of Mustang. That's the thing's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
You put an Adelief suspension in the back, some blackjack headers on there, some Kragers. I mean, what the fuck with that car? Like, if my friend was like, I'm going into this Russian impound and I'm going to go shoot the place up and get my Mustang back, I'd be like, or we can just go to eBay and get another one for $8,000.
Yeah.
That's the same car.
Yeah.
Maybe
plus
better.
The damage that he did to it's going to cost $100,000.
It's a 69 Ford Mustang Mach 1, right? That's just like black with a black interior. Like, what?
Was it green?
People are so stupid with cars. Like, I'm sorry. I had to be a douche to my son, but he's like, he's got a really good car. I'm like, no. Look, first off, your mom's Tesla. All right, she sold it, we'd buy 11 of those cars. Okay, so you think your mom's car is super cool?
He's like, I mean, it gets him where he needs to go.
To have a Datsun 610, that's much better than that car.
In race trim.
Yeah, yeah. Even stock, I swear to God, bone stock, I might take that Datsun 610 over. What? Yeah.
The films, they call it a Boss 429, but all the car guys are like, no, that's a Mustang.
It's not a Boss 429. But like in the movie, like his wife gave him the car and the dog, I think. Yeah. And that, I don't know. But
his wife definitely gave him the dog.
So Ford made a 428 Cobra Jet.
Yeah.
They made a
money car.
They made a 427.
Well, they made a
in a 429?
They made an engine of 427, yeah. But they didn't
make a car.
Yeah.
And a 429 Boss.
Yeah.
So they made 27, 28, car. And 29.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's not a Boss 429. That's a different car. Yeah. This is, he's basically driving the Mustang that Mary Tyler Moore drove in the beginning of the Mary Tyler Moore Show. You show the beginning of the Mary Tyler Moore Show, I'll show you the Mustang John Wick was driving. Stupid.
Hers is in better shape.
What else that thing have on it? Like some rims and like a Hurst shifter knob? Blah.
Yeah. Yeah. It has a new drive shaft. Core Sport, the radiator. I don't know what else he was yapping about.
What is it with guys and cars? Like, it's like when the people talk about the Bullet Mustang. Like, oh, man, that thing was badass, man. Yeah. That's a piece of shit. That car's a fucking piece of shit. Who cares about the Bullet Mustang?
Yeah.
I could beat
the new Bullet Mustang's better.
Any one of you could do a Bullet Mustang recreation fucking money and no purpose and no anything. No fanfare, no anything. That's like, what? I don't get car guys. You know what I think it is? Here's what I think people do. I think car guys do what hipsters do with Radiohead. Like, lead hipster goes, I'm listening to a lot of Radiohead. And then all the other fucking bovine head nodders go, oh, yeah, yeah, no, Radiohead. No, yeah, think I'm cool. Yeah, I don't listen to Radiohead. But yeah. Car guys are insecure because a lot of car guys don't know anything about cars. So then lead buffoon brings up Bullet Mustang, and then all the flock of buffoons go, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a badass.
Right, because it's the famous car or the famous movie.
The thing's a piece of shit now. It was a bigger piece of shit now. It was a piece of shit then. It was a cool movie, like a cool driving scene and all that stuff, but the car's a piece of shit.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Would you want that car? I mean, if you got it, you'd sell it the next day, but would you want to drive that car or look at that car?
Not if it doesn't have air.
No. Would you want to race that car?
Yeah. It's not a race car. Well, you wouldn't want to race it.
You wouldn't want to drive it.
It doesn't really.
Would you want to take the Steve McQueen Bullet Mustang and drive it in a spirited fashion on Mulholland Drive?
No, that seems dangerous.
Yeah. The answer's no, because it's got a live rear axle and drum brakes. Yeah. Right. And leash
rings. 2019 Bullet, I'd be all over.
Not that car.
Yeah, no.
That's a piece of shit. Okay, so it's a $4 million car, and if you said to me, would you like to drive it? I'd go, no, because it's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm mostly mad at my dad, because the guy who owns the car's dad bought it like in the recycler for like $3,000 hid it. And now the dad's died, and now it's also...
It's like, $11 million or something, whatever it's insured for.
I think it's four, are they estimate, or maybe more. Who knows? You know what it's worth? What someone will pay for it.
That's... What?
And then who are all the guys that are like, we got to find the Bullet Mustang? Like, why? Why? It's a piece of shit Mustang from the 70s.
Right.
What do you need to find it for?
I don't know.
You not seen a puke green Mustang before with headers and a four-barrel Holley? Is that exotic to you?
Do you know how much you're irritating Bo Bachman right now?
I don't care. That car's a piece of shit. I mean, that car's like, it's a shit Mustang. They put some gears in it.
Yeah.
They probably beefed up the leaf springs. And the shocks.
Yeah.
They probably put some headers, a cam, and a four barrel in.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Can't even put a sway bar in a car like that.
Right. But that's the car now. When the movie came out, they're like, what's a cool muscle car that we have available to
us? I get it. It's a piece of shit now.
Right. Right.
Yeah,
I
get it.
Right. All right. Let me tell you guys about Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. You can drop off your dry cleaning. You pick up some milk. And now you can save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list. And you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. Just go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Be sure to check out geico.com.
All right. You want to talk about Tracy Morgan and his Bugatti?
Yeah. Did you hear about this? This is what's bugging me about the story.
Chiron or something?
No. He got a used Veyron.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
I don't like the Veyrons.
Yeah.
I don't like the looks
of them. So, right.
Veyron's a piece of shit, man.
This here.
Would
this,
you want to drive? okay.
It came out, it was cool. But
no,
now. It's
but
shit.
Now, no. What's it got? Some blackjack headers on there?
Yeah. Some Kragers.
The Veyron, I never liked the look of the Veyron.
It's kind of egg shaped, but.
I think Chiron, or whatever it is, the Chiron or something. Chiron is a much better looking car.
Yeah. But what's cool about the Veyron is when you start taking the body pieces all off of it, it's super high tech underneath.
It's a cool piece. I mean, you know, it's a super cool. It's because of all the coolers.
Yeah. When we took your 79, the 280ZX twin turbo V8 car, and we put it in the video game, when they took the body off and photographed everything, and it's just coolers and lines.
That piece of shit. Would you want to drive?
That had some custom blackjack headers feeding the turbo.
No, that car looks like a spaceship.
It does. It's a total spaceship. So this is what. So Tracy Morgan, the car gets damaged. I'm going to say that. What bugs me is every headline is Tracy Morgan crashes $2 million supercar right after he leaves the dealership, right? It sounds like he's an idiot. He doesn't know what to do. He's over his head in this car, but that's not what happened. That's just the headlines. Mm-hmm. It is he took it out. He was driving it. Somebody was like gawking at him or something and sideswiped him and hit him.
Right.
Right? But here we are with the headlines going, Tracy Morgan wrecks his car. I'm like, come on.
I know. We're evil.
What are we doing now? It's just, I mean, talk about clickbait. I mean, it's, you know, and they're like, oh, and it's within 3 days of the anniversary of his accident. And I was like, eh. You know, it's like, it's fine. Somebody sideswiped him, a little fender bender. And on his car, it's going to be super expensive if he doesn't have Geico.
Let me tell you where I'm at now. Where I'm at now is I realize like everything is such clickbait.
Oh, my God.
And all the stories are so weird and lopsided and stuff that as a car guy with a computer who's a friend of Tracy Morgan's, I didn't bother looking.
Right.
Because I knew it was a zero burger. I've seen expensive cars with scuffs on the quarter panel.
Yeah.
I'm moving on.
Yeah.
And it's insane. Our storytelling and the news is insane because I was just reading this article and it was like Trump goes to England, Trump goes to London and insults the mayor. And it's like, okay, that's the story on CNN, except for they left out the part where the mayor of London called him a big orange douchebag before he came to London. So probably not great journalism because I'm reading a story that just sounds like Trump rolled into town and insulted the mayor.
Hey, screw you. I'm getting back on the plane.
The mayor insulted him and then he went back and fired back. But that's not really...
Trump fires back at...
That would be a more accurate depiction of it. Yeah. And then you should also include what the mayor said about him, not just the second part of the argument. So it's basically... If I was standing with Max Zapata and Max in the kitchenette and Max Zapata kicked me in the shin and I said, hey, and I kicked him back in the shin.
Yeah.
If you're CNN, you can't write a headline that says Corolla kicks employee in the shin. Although accurate, technically, you're not doing a good journalistic job, I would argue.
That's what I'd be submitting to.
That's right.
That's what you'd be submitting. Yeah, that's the way it goes. That's the way it goes.
And also, all this stuff. The only part of the story I like is that he was hit by a Honda CR-V, which is the car for people who wish they didn't have to drive a car.
Yes.
It is my number one car for people who just go, I don't want a car. I wish there was some goddamn public transportation I could take everywhere all the time. But if I must own a car, I will get a Honda CR-V. Especially the earlier ones.
And the front-wheel drive only one.
Where you see that huge daylight coming through the rear suspension where the pumpkin would be.
Yeah, you're like, where's the rest of it?
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
You've got to make one Mulholland run.
Yeah.
1988, bone stock, Honda CR-V, the car my stepmother drove, brown exterior with a beige cloth interior, front wheel drive, or the original Bullet Mustang.
Oh.
You'd have to think about it.
You'd pause for a minute because you're like, the CRV works and the air's on. The Bullet Mustang, got to roll down the windows.
What better argument could there be for that car's a piece of shit?
I'd go with the Mustang.
I'd go with the Mustang just to say it, but you'd be scared.
Yeah. I'd go slow. How fast? Is there a minimum mile an hour? that's the question. If you can't go below 50 or it explodes.
Max Zapata, Eddie Griffin. There was some Eddie Griffin Enzo Ferrari crash. Remember this one?
Yes.
You do remember this one?
Yes.
All right. So there was some controversy a few years ago because they had some movie come out. So what happened is Fast and Furious, the franchise, started really getting momentum. So all the other people went back and went like, we got to come out with Redline or Maximum RPM or some kind of weird car thing. We got to get in on this.
Yeah. Like, let's go to Eddie Griffin. Is it Griffin?
Yeah. He didn't crash his Enzo. I don't know what the story says, crashed his Enzo. It wasn't
Enzo. No. The guy that, like, one of the producers that pretty much bankrolled that film, like, put all of his cars in there. And the story that was more entertaining.
It may have been Redline or something.
Yeah, I think it was Redline. And the story was, like, he destroys his real, like, McLaren SLR and, you know, in the film. And he's like, yeah, it's the price of doing filmmaking. But then this Enzo crashes.
And people are like, oh, that he was at Irwindale. It was like with the core. He locked up the brakes. And the point is first off, that's a real car crash. Secondly, people were like, is this a publicity stunt to try to draw publicity? And I was like, no, that's a guy crashing a car. That's a guy. You lock up the front brakes, you turn the wheel, but unfortunately, you've locked up the front brakes.
Yeah.
So you have a choice. Yeah. Your either brakes can work before you hit a barrier, or you can let go of the brakes and turn the car, spin it. But Eddie is not that experienced, and he locked up the front brakes and was turning the wheel while the front brakes were locked up, and he went hard into a cement barrier. Yeah. That was not a publicity stunt.
That was not a publicity stunt, and definitely one of the cars that the owner and the producer of that movie did not want to crash.
Right.
He says, I was coming around the track and came into a tight turn, and I hit a cone, and the cone got caught underneath the tire. So the tire locked up, and I slammed into the wall.
No.
That's not what happened.
That's not what happened.
I believe
he hit a cone.
He did hit a cone.
I believe he hit a wall.
And he knocked over a cone. Can I tell you, there's so much autocrossing going on in this country that if a cone did that.
Yeah, if a cone locks up the tire,
there would never be cones on any track.
Well, if you think about it, how does a cone lock up? The cone could go through, it could cycle through and then be spit out.
Yeah.
It could get. Look, you're talking to a guy who drove a race. I had a Royal Purple sign. I had a 3-foot by 9-foot plastic Royal Purple sign that I dragged all the way across the track at Laguna Seca.
And into pit lane. And
I could drive the car fine except for the
It's making some noise and someone's yelling at you with a flag. But other than that, it's fine.
Why did the car? The thing couldn't spit out the back of my car. It had this spot weld to the underneath of my car.
Yeah.
It melted to my exhaust.
Yeah, we have it. It's hanging. Hanging in the shop. Right. There's no way the cone locked up the wheel. Like,
well, let me see it one more time, Max Zapata. You see him hit the cone, but both wheel. Well, you can't see the driver. You can't see the driver's side wheel, but you see the passenger side wheel, front wheel, locked up. There's no cone in there.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good story. Hit a cone. Cone locked up the wheel.
All right, is he going to hit the cone? Oh, he hit the cone. The cone flew 3 feet in front of him. The cone didn't even go underneath the car.
How accurate a portrayal of cone locked up front tire would that be?
We literally have video footage of that not happening.
Right. That was his quote. He told the news.
And of course, the news was like, that's what happened. I'm sure that's what happened because no one's going to check the footage.
He should never work for the ATF, transport. You know the guys who are like reconstruct the commercial airline crashes?
Yeah.
Is that the ATF?
No, that's alcohol, tobacco, and firearms.
Right. This is the aeronautical transportation. I don't know. What is the reconstruction of It is like an AT something, but it's not ATF. I don't know. It's the guys who do the reconstructions of the commercial airline flights. Like they get all the pieces, they get a hangar and they reconstruct the plane's pieces and they put it back together like you're digging up dinosaur bones and putting them up in a museum. Eddie Griffin would not be good at that job.
No.
Why did this Airbus 380 crash? Pilot was eating a sandwich, yo.
Dropped some mustard on his lap, went down.
Yeah.
Just went down.
He hit a cone.
In the air.
He was eating a cone. All right. Yeah. You got, what do you got? Do I got the next read or you got the next read?
Oh, you
I got J.B. Weldon.
Yeah.
What? ATB? AB? Damn it. It's CTB. ATB. I don't know. Who investigates commercial airline crashes?
ATB.
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 There you go.
What does it stand for?
The ATB. Right.
How do we click away from that?
Aviation. This is the wrong part.
Well, it is ATB, I think. Or it's initials. I don't know. Whatever said.
Yeah,
it's
sort of Air Transport Bureau.
Air Transport Bureau. Right.
Oh, that makes sense.
So alcohol, tobacco, ATF, and this is ATB.
Yeah.
Okay. Some a little nuts, but not pretty close.
It's all government stuff.
It's all government stuff.
They love their acronyms.
I'll tell you what I love. I love J. It's not an acronym. It's just initials. I like the initials of J.B. Weld, everybody. Big or small projects, J.B. Weld for your home, for your garage. You want it to last. We're proud to have J.B. Weld Epoxy Adhesive as our sponsor. Keep J.B. Weld in your toolbox, kitchen drawer, craft room. Good for metal, wood, plastic, and more. Made in the USA, pros and DIYers have trusted J.B. Weld for more than 50 years. We use it at the shop. We use it here. I use it at home. I use it in the garage. We use it in the studio. Stuff's good. And now they make everything. So when I was coming up, it was pretty much just J.B. Weld, and they do metal repair. Like if you had a hole in your muffler or something, you could patch it with J.B. Weld.
Yeah, and they have high temp versions for that now.
But now they have the super glue and everything else available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's. You can get on Amazon. J.B. Weld, world's strongest bond. National Transportation Safety Board.
That one's
NTSB.
Yes. NTSB.
That's the one.
That sounds right.
NTSB.
That sounds right.
NTSB. All right. What are you driving?
Oh, right now, the Range Rover SV Autobiography. You saw it. You got to peek in it real quick. Autobiography.
Really?
Yeah. It's the super fancy version. It's a $181,000 Range Rover. And this one so far is doing well. I drove the Range Rover Sport plug-in hybrid, and I had so many problems with the electronics, the infotainment system. Everything was crashing. This one is spot on. I was getting a seat massage on the way here. They have different versions of it. There's combo, and there's wave, and then there's hot stone is the name
hot
of this,
stone
is the name of the seat massage.
Wow.
And it warms the seat. It gives you a massage on the way here. We should do the podcast from in the vehicle because I feel like
181K
yeah.
has to be the most expensive Range Rover
I think there's a long wheelbase version that'll push 200.
Jesus. It's beautiful. The interior is beautiful.
Oh, my God.
Beautiful.
It's fantastic. Yeah.
Ooh. Diamond quilt stitching.
Yeah.
Back, everyone. Who could have?
Wait a minute.
One day I will be recognized.
Yeah, pull up the Haggerty article where you mentioned diamond stitching. You said, this is the thing.
When I was yelling about diamond stitching 12 years ago, 15 years ago, when I was yelling about diamond stitching, and don't take my word for it, I took a Lamborghini, tore out the interior, and put a diamond stitching interior in it. That was 13 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
When I was yapping about diamond stitching, the only vehicles that came with diamond stitching were a Ferrari 575 or Ferrari 550 Maranello.
Mm-hmm.
That was about it. Maybe a couple Ferrari offerings. But a Ferrari V12 575, probably when I was yapping about diamond stitching in 2003 and 2004, came with it.
Maybe Bentley.
No other vehicles had it.
Yeah.
Now, every vehicle. Every vehicle has diamond stitching because it's cool.
It's cool, and it's genius. It completely changes the interior.
And car companies are doing what I've always said, which is if it doesn't really cost any more money, like there's many things in the production of an automobile, if you want to make a McLaren F1 in 1993, you can't just say to Hyundai, just replicate it. Just knock it off because it's like, we can't. That's a carbon fiber tub. But things like diamond stitching and certain shapes on the exterior and certain shapes on the interior, I've been yelling about this my whole life. Yeah. Just rip off what the expensive guys are doing if you're Hyundai or whatever. I always used to get mad at like Pontiac, Chevy, Ford to a lesser degree. I'd go, look, an 88 VW Jetta has a perfectly nice interior, like bolsters on the seats, cloth inserts, a nice looking dash. Just go do that. Would you please just rip them off? Just do what they're doing. And now everyone is just doing like Hyundai is just going, fuck it. We're just going to make an Audi A7.
Yeah.
And we'll just knock $25,000 off the price.
Like the Genesis.
We'll just be the same shape, same interior, diamond.
Yeah.
We'll put the diamond. If Bentley's doing diamond quilting, then we'll do diamond quilting.
I think it's fantastic. And now you can get it pretty much everywhere. And it looks great. And it's fantastic in the Range Rover. The other car, we spent some time in the McLaren 720S Spyder. Mm. We got into it on the show earlier this week. I had Brad Fanshaw call in while Goldberg's on his way to Saudi Arabia to fight The Undertaker.
I don't even believe Saudi Arabia is real. Yeah. Forget about The Undertaker.
The Undertaker. No, it's a battle. It's a battle Jesus for Christ. Sure. So he's going to go out there and get himself a paycheck, come back and buy some more Dodge Challengers. But Brad and I we met up at the Ritz-Carlton Laguna Niguel, and we did some photo shooting down there. And I got to tell you, like, the 720S has got to be the best supercar, best sports car you can buy. I mean, without getting into the $1.5 million range.
What's the price?
So it starts at $315,000, and the one we had was $411,000, and but rear wheel drive, not all wheel drive, no electric hybrid drive, like it's just 4-liter twin turbo, 710 horsepower.
Wow!
And it's a beast. It is just a beast. And
all right.
The convertible top's all carbon fiber.
It's like a hard top.
It's convertible
like a
hard top.
Two piece or whatever.
This one had the optional panoramic glass in the middle, and it's electrochromatic panoramic roof, I think they call it. You hit a button, it goes shoom, opaque. You hit it again, clear.
Oh, man. Like a sci fi movie.
Oh, my God. It was the coolest thing ever.
All right.
Like one of those cool conference rooms.
Me, Denver Comedy Works, coming up Friday, Saturday. I guess that'll be next Friday, Saturday. It'll be June 14th and 15th. We're doing a couple of shows Friday, a couple of shows Saturday. We're going to the Shelby Museum.
Nice.
So I'll give you a little report from that. Portland, Monterey, coming up. Golden State Theater in Monterey, August 17th. We're doing some racing as well over there. So
come out to the track during the day, and then go to the show that night.
And come by the pits and say hi. We always like when people ask questions, take pictures. You can go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live shows. You can check out Not Taco Bell material. You can get that. Go to Chassis for all the car stuff coming up, Chassy. Check out Shift and Steer, available on iTunes and Podcast One. Till next time, Adam Carolla for Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea, saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.